In 2015 and 2018, Ohioans voted to make changes to how political district maps in the state are drawn. The goal was to make elections fairer and eliminate partisan gerrymandering. But what the voters approved in theory did not work out the way advocates expected when those reforms were put in practice. Now another anti-gerrymandering amendment is in the works. Welcome to The Sound of Ideas. I'm Jenny Hamill. This amendment proposes to take politicians out of the process altogether and give the power to citizens. Advocates say current leaders are insulated and no longer responsive to what voters in Ohio want. We will discuss the new amendment proposal with one of its most visible advocates, former Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor. That discussion happening. First, the latest national and local news. It's The Sound of Ideas from IdeaStream Public Media. I'm Jenny Hamill. Thanks so much for joining us. One of the main criticisms of partisan gerrymandering is that it makes lawmakers less responsive to what voters actually want. One such critic is Maureen O'Connor, retired Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, who co-wrote in a Columbus Dispatch column after the November election that the citizens of Ohio, quote, spoke loudly and clearly, passing two significant measures that had faced opposition from a gerrymandered legislature. She goes on to write, regardless of how you voted on issue one and two, the Reproductive Rights Constitutional Amendment and legalizing adult use marijuana, the election results clearly demonstrate that when politicians draw their own legislative districts for the purpose of maintaining their power, the result is that these politicians become insulated from reality and do not represent the people they are supposed to serve. O'Connor is one of the leaders behind the Citizens Not Politicians campaign that's written an amendment that proposes a 15-member redistricting commission made up strictly of citizens rather than politicians or lobbyists. Volunteers across Ohio have begun collecting signatures to put this amendment to end gerrymandering on the ballot in November 2024. They need to gather more than 400,000 signatures by the 3rd of July in order for this to appear on the November ballot, and when we will also be asked to vote for the next president of the United States. So let's have a conversation about this effort to change the state's method for drawing their maps again in 2024. Joining me in the studio is Maureen O'Connor, retired Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. She is one of the leaders, again, of the Citizens Not Politicians campaign. Chief Justice, glad to have you on the show. Thanks for driving up from Akron.
My pleasure.
All right, great to see you. We also have Catherine Terser, Executive Director of Common Cause Ohio, a government watchdog. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We also have State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler joining us from Columbus as well. Karen, always glad to have you on.
Great to be here. Thanks.
If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question or a thought, call 866-578-0903 or 216-578-0903. You can email us at soi@ideastream.org or you can tweet us. We're at Sound of Ideas. Now, Chief Justice, as a Republican, you ruled against gerrymandered congressional and state house districts, I believe, seven times while you were on the bench, deeming them unconstitutional. Can you elaborate on your reasons why?
They were unconstitutional because both the redistricting maps for our congressional districts and our state legislative districts did not meet the criterion that was set out in the amendments that were passed in 2015 and 2018 by the citizens of Ohio. Those two amendments were promoted to the citizens as the, you know, the ticket, the solution to gerrymandering. And, you know, my position, and this is how it's been borne out, is that they were doomed to fail from the beginning because they had a redistricting commission that was made up of seven politicians by constitution: the governor, the secretary of state, the auditor, and then two from the Senate, and then two from the House, picked by either the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. So there we have seven politicians. In this particular configuration, It was five elected Republican office holders and two Democratic office holders. And they gave us, as I, you know, they in 2022, maps that were continuously rejected, not just by me, but by three of my colleagues on the bench. There's seven on the bench. It takes four for a majority. And we had a majority that found those maps not to meet the criterion set out.
So I know you received blowback for these bench decisions. How do you view partisan gerrymandering, even if it, in essence, favors your party?
Okay, well, I think, first of all, when we talk about a job as a justice or a judge, there should be no politics involved in it. It doesn't matter that I'm a Republican. It doesn't matter that I'm a Catholic. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, some of my other, you know, I like to fly fish. That's got nothing to do with how I make my, you know, make my decisions. And it shouldn't. And that's the way you take an oath and as a member of the judiciary. And you have to uphold your oath to follow the Constitution and the laws of the state of Ohio, as well as the Constitution and laws of the United States. And so, putting aside politics, you know, I always say to audiences, when you put on the black robe, you leave everything else outside the door except for your brain and your oath and the law that is before you. And you apply the law to the facts. And you do that dispassionately, and you do that even-handedly, and you do that without regard to your political registration. And I want to make that very clear. I'm a registered Republican. That doesn't mean that I am an active Republican in this day and age Republican Party. Okay?
Understood. Since your retirement from the state Supreme Court, where has the fight against gerrymandering sat in your list of daily priorities?
Like number one,
after fly fishing,
I haven't even gotten a chance to do that. But you know, I said, and I was serious about this when leading up to my retirement, December 31st, 2022, that I was going to take 4 months off, and I was going to do nothing. No work, nothing. I use the phrase, the Italian phrase, il dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing. Mm. I wanted to find out what that felt like. My first meeting for redistricting reform was January 5th. Okay? I have not had a break
Say the saying again.
Il dolce far niente.
So you practiced that for a minute.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something that I've embraced and had been thought about.
It's a wonderful saying.
Oh, it's fabulous, and the concept is fabulous, but it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply this year, and it's not going to apply until November of 2024 for me. And then it's going to apply.
Got it. So let's talk about that. Citizens, not politicians. You are one of the leaders of the campaign. What are the goals and what you hope to do?
We hope to pass a constitutional amendment which will repeal the two amendments that were passed, one in 15 and one in 18. And the biggest feature of this constitutional amendment, the biggest difference, I should say, is the makeup of the redistricting commission. It will be made up of citizens, and there's a whole list of people who are ineligible to be a member of that 15-member panel. Five Democrats, and that means people who are registered as Democratic voters. Five Republicans, same criteria, and then five people who are registered from neither party. Mm. And there will be, you know, they can't be active members of the, they can't be office holders. They can't work for the, you know, either party or work for an elected official. You know, there's just a list of as I said, exclusions. And people will be able to volunteer to do this. Okay. We want people from all around the state to volunteer. We are going, when I say we, I don't mean me. I'm saying that when the 15-member panel redistricting commission is put in place, they will actually travel to like all four corners of Ohio and central Ohio and listen to what people have to say about how they believe their districts should be formed. They'll take into consideration communities of interest, for example. And, you know, this language is written into the Constitution, and it's very specific. It's very prescribed, as I like to say, because we don't want any room for misunderstanding or an interpretation that may not be what the intent was of the amendment.
All right. Well, that is a perfect opportunity now to invite Catherine Turser into the common conversation with Common Cause Ohio. Catherine, I know that your organization is part of this coalition pushing to get the – can you give me that specific number of signatures you need by July 3rd to get this amendment on the ballot for next November?
So what's funny is I don't have it right in front of me. And one of the reasons I don't is because, yes, we say over 400,000, but at the end of the day, we need so many more than that.
Oh.
And that's because, you know, it has to be the signature of a voter. It has to be very clear when they sign it and you know, when they provide their information. And folks move, and you know, all sorts of things can happen. I'm always completely moved by the citizen initiative process. You know, one voter talking to another about changing the Ohio Constitution, but it is an incredible, incredible challenge. And so I think an easy way to think about this is, you know, we're talking about more than 400,000 that have to be valid, but the important thing is we need almost double that to really be sure that we will have enough signatures. So this is an enormous and wonderful undertaking, and we're starting right now. And so we're very excited, but this is a big challenge, and we need voters. This is really on voters to actually get this done.
And Karen, from your vantage point at the State House, I'm curious. I know that there was a bit of hiccup earlier with the language of the amendment, and it had to pass muster with the Ohio Attorney General's office. It did not do so, but now has been seen through. Can you kind of elaborate on what happened there?
Sure. The Chief Justice and Catherine probably can explain it better than I can, but since they're deeply involved in this. But as I understand it, the whole petition, which is what you need to go out and gather signatures from registered voters, had been approved by the Attorney General, had been approved by the ballot board, and it was the group, Citizens Not Politicians, that discovered a typo, a number that was not the same in both the petition and the actual amendment. So they reported that. It went back through the process, got approved by the Attorney General, got approved by the ballot board. And the only problem with that really was that the lost time, because one of the best days, I think, for a lot of groups to gather signatures of registered voters is Election Day. And so that opportunity was missed, but they have a lot of time. They have a lot more time than, for instance, Issue 1, the Abortion Access and Reproductive Rights Amendment. They gathered 700,000 signatures in a matter of a few months. So Citizens Not Politicians has a lot more time to make that up.
Go ahead, Chief Justice.
One point that I think is really important to make is it doesn't matter your political affiliation when you're signing these petitions. You just have to be a registered voter. So that makes it a little bit easier that they're not just looking for registered Republicans or registered Democrats like they do when they're doing a candidate's petitions, that sort of thing. So any registered Ohio voter can sign this. And that's an important thing. I'd like the listeners to know that they don't have to worry about their political affiliation. So if you see somebody, at a shopping center, at a public event, in the fall, we're past the fall usually football games were a good high school football games
right.
were a good spot to do this sort of thing. But it's nonpartisan. That's the beauty of this initiative. It is nonpartisan. And, to get 400 and I think it's 413,000.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Signatures. If I could just elaborate a little bit on your question about how this the amendment was dealt with by the Attorney General and then the ballot board. There were three summaries that were written. The first one was rejected by the Attorney General. You have the language of the amendment, and then you have to do a layman's term, summation of the amendment. The first one we turned in was rejected, and they gave us some, points at what they wanted clarified. So we did that, and then gave that again, and then we got another letter from the Attorney General and say, oh, in addition to the first things we told you, now we've got some more things we want you to correct. My objection to that was everything that they felt was wrong with the summation should be in the first letter, back to us. You don't piecemeal your, objections to the summations. So anyway, so we did that. We did it three times. You've got to do what you're asked to do. Ballot board passed it without any dissent immediately. We were very pleased with that. And that little hiccup with having to go through that all over again was literally a typo. Number 9 was inserted. The number 15 was inserted, and it should have been 19. And it was a date, September 15 or September 19. It didn't matter at all. But when we saw it, it was, okay, we got to correct this.
If you have a question or a thought regarding gerrymandering or for our panel of guests, please call 216-578-0903 or 866-578-0903. You can email us at soi@ideastream.org. Catherine, we're already getting a gamut of emails coming in who want to know this. So, what exactly is the amendment adopting, and why are these citizen commissions better than a politician-filled commission?
So I think that's a really good question, and it gets at the heart of why we need the citizens, not politicians amendment. So I think the first thing to think about is we spent a lot of effort as Ohioans to amend the Ohio Constitution. We put good rules in it in 2015 and 2018. So there is a prohibition against gerrymandering or manipulating district lines for partisan advantage. That is in the Ohio Constitution. And, voters overwhelmingly supported making sure that the manipulation of district lines would not continue by putting these amendments into the Ohio Constitution. And we expected elected officials to do the right thing. We expected the Ohio Redistricting Commission to pay attention to what the voters wanted, to honor what was in the Ohio Constitution, and, of course, to listen to the Ohio Supreme Court. But that's not what happened. And, what's very clear is that these folks are drunk on power. And, what do you do with drunks? You take away their keys. And so that's why we're saying, hey, we need to take the map making away from elected officials and give it to a citizens commission. Now, this isn't a new idea. Other states have done this for a while. So we can look at Arizona that's been doing this for a couple decades very successfully. We can look at Colorado and California, and we can look at our neighbors, Michigan. The thing that's really important here is that we know that districts that are drawn independently are drawn so that they keep communities together. They are not manipulated to benefit one party over the other. And for folks who want to participate in meaningful elections, it's incredibly important that we take politicians out of this process and instead we do a citizens commission. And that's why we're collecting signatures. That's why we have to again amend the Ohio Constitution.
Karen, I know that in your reporting, you've had conversations with those that sit on the commission and with some of our lawmakers who defend the current maps.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just yesterday on our TV show, The State of Ohio, we did an interview for This Weekend featuring Senate President Matt Huffman and Senate Minority Leader Nikki Antonio, both of whom have been on the Ohio Redistricting Commission at one point or another. Antonio was one of the two Democrats who voted for the most recent set of maps. It was a unanimous vote. And I asked her about that, but also I asked Matt Huffman about his involvement. He goes back to the 2015 and 2018 constitutional amendments in the creation of the Ohio Redistricting Commission. And I asked him specifically, the maps that were approved by the Redistricting Commission this last time around, unanimously approved, and were upheld by the Ohio Supreme Court, give a Republican supermajority of 62% in the House and nearly 70% in the Senate. And I asked him, is that okay? And he said he believes that Ohio is heavily Republican. 62% is probably appropriate. Look at 2022 when the governor won with 68% of the vote. And he said that this is the will of the people, that people overwhelmingly approved those amendments in 2015 and 2018. And it was actually the insertion of the Ohio Supreme Court into the process, which he says corrupted it, which I think is probably something that the Chief Justice might find interesting.
Sometimes I'm sad that the show is just radio because I love the looks on the faces of some of our guests. Chief Justice, do you want to respond to that?
Let me give you an example of Matt Huffman, president of the Senate's reaction to the will of the people. August election. We had a very contested August election that, if it had been successful, would have required 60% of voter approval for a constitutional amendment. And as an aside, in 1912, very progressive, far-sighted individuals put in our Constitution the ability for the citizens of Ohio to speak, the citizens of Ohio to initiate a change in the Constitution. That's not something in every constitution in every state of this country. In fact, only about 18 of them have it. So we're one of those 18. So keep in mind that we have the power in Ohio to have a citizen's initiative. There was a campaign against the issue August 8th, and the thought by those that were proposing it was that we're going to throw up this roadblock of 60%. And that means that the reproductive rights will probably fail in November of 23, and more importantly, the redistricting reform in November of 24 will fail because they figured they're not going to get 60%. We wouldn't get 60%. Okay, so we have this August election. They thought people are on vacation, nobody's going to pay attention. It's an off, not only an off year, but an off month election. But they were wrong. They underestimated the people of Ohio. And that initiative to change the voting percentage from 50 plus one, which it has been since 1912, and jump it up to 60%, failed miserably. 57-58% of the people that showed up, and there was a record number of people that showed up and said, no, you know, you're not going to do this. We're not going to do it. And what was the reaction of the president of the Senate? This isn't over yet. Okay, this isn't over yet. What does that mean? We don't trust the people. And that is the motivation here for citizens, not politicians. Trust the people to know what is good and best and works for themselves, their communities, their families. This is nonpartisan. I cannot emphasize that enough, nonpartisan. You know, you probably can tell I'm passionate about this.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will stay with our discussion on gerrymandering and the amendment and the signature gathering. That's in just a moment. I'm Jenny Hamill. This is The Sound of Ideas. We'll be right back. This is Jenny Hamill with The Sound of Ideas. Thanks so much for staying with us this hour as we talk about an attempt to reform gerrymandering in Ohio with a potential amendment on the November 2024 ballot driven by the Citizens Not Politicians Coalition. I am joined by Maureen O'Connor, retired Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Catherine Turser, Executive Director of Common Cause Ohio, and Karen Kassler, our State House News Bureau Chief. Catherine, I want to ask you about some of the lawmakers' actions around Issue 1 and Issue 2 currently and how you think that's demonstrative of the negative effects of gerrymandering.
So it is very clear that our elected leaders at the State House, that they think they know best. You know, what's really important is that voters should have their say. Voters put into the Ohio Constitution reproductive rights, and there should not be this conversation about, well, how can we mitigate the results here? How can we fight this? It's now, you know, the law of Ohio. It is in the Ohio Constitution. And you know, what's really scary today is, you know, legislators really have always encouraged folks, you know, please use the statutory initiative. You don't actually have to do a constitutional amendment. And folks have stayed away from doing statutory initiatives because, you know, they worry that legislators will immediately change what is passed. And that's the case with Issue 2. Folks will remember this is the legalization of marijuana. Ohioans approved that. And yet legislators are here at the State House and will today be talking about ways that they want to amend the law that Ohioans just passed. And we're not talking about kind of simple tweaks. We're talking about changes to where the tax money would go. It's really incredible that our legislators do not feel accountable to voters. And so, you know, the way that I connect that to gerrymandering is, you know, when we talk about the manipulation of district lines, we're talking about the manipulation of elections, and then there's the manipulation of public policy. And that's because at the end of the day, you have predictable results. You know, these districts lean one direction or they lean the other direction. And what ends up having is that elected officials can feel unaccountable to voters.
And something that you had told me in our conversation prior to the show is that the real fight for these lawmakers in gerrymandered districts then becomes in the primary. So then it becomes about politicians moving to extremes in order to kind of outdo each other. Explain that.
So I think the easiest way to think about this is if the results, because of the manipulation of the district lines, if the results of the election are pretty well already predetermined by the way they've crafted and manipulated these districts, that what really matters is the primary. And so elected officials are paying attention to their primary voters. Now, these primary voters tend to be more extreme, and this is both political parties, they're more extreme. And the biggest problem is not only do they tend to be more extreme and take more extreme positions, but also there's this inability to compromise. And so at the end of the day, gerrymandering can set us up for really dysfunctional government. And we're seeing that play out every single day at the State House.
I do have to take some calls. We have our phone lines are lighting up. And Todd from Cleveland calling into the Sound of Ideas. You've been patiently waiting on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenny, Karen, Catherine, and Maureen. I want gerrymandering to end. I've felt like this the entirety of my adult life, and I'm in my 50s now. However, gerrymandering has worked to the benefit, to some degree, of the disadvantaged in this country and in this state, meaning those that aren't eligible to vote yet, those that can't vote because they're in the penitentiary, or those that are just voluntarily ignorant and do not recognize the importance of that. So we have to balance that. What do you have to say, and I'm particularly addressing this to you, Maureen, what do you have to say to the advantage of gerrymandering as it applies to the disadvantaged in this country historically. And let me say this in exit to you, Catherine. Yeah, it is an issue with power drunkenness and politicians, but you don't take the keys from an alcoholic drunk. You take the alcohol from them and take away the access to it. And that's the same thing with power. And that's where our problem is here. All right, I'll listen.
All right, Todd, I'm going to give you a bit of a clarification there in referring to Maureen. We're going to go ahead and call her Chief Justice.
Maureen's fine. Okay, the question, every election is disadvantaged when there is voter suppression. I agree with the caller 100%. So how do we do away with voter suppression? We have a legislature that respects the people and wants the people to vote. And that means we need a legislature that is with districts that are fairly drawn and that are not afraid of the voter. And what we have now is a legislature that, as I said, distrustful of the voter and is not bothered by some of the manipulation of voting rights. When I say that, I call that in general voter suppression. And so what do? We make districts more competitive so that there is a chance for voters to select either a Democrat or a Republican, make those districts as many as possible, 50-50 or, close to it. And that's the, that's the secret then, because then you have competitive districts and you have voter participation. One of the things that I think stifles our entire voting climate here in the state of Ohio is the fact that we do have primaries. I believe that we should have open primaries. Okay, we have primaries, and you have to be registered to vote, either declare a party, either D or R. I think we should have open primaries, and the two top vote-getters face off in November. I don't care what their, R, D, independent, whatever their party. And the beauty of that is that not only registered Democrats or registered Republicans can participate, but the vast majority out there of what we call independent voters can participate in the primary. Right now, they can't participate in the primary.
So then, essentially, they're not involved in the process of all if they're duking it out, if the lawmakers or candidates are duking it out in the primary.
Exactly. There's a segment, a giant segment that is handed the ballot sheet in November and said, here's your choices. You didn't have any choice in who your choices are. You could have had a choice in who your choices are if we had an open primary. We need open primaries. That's a whole different topic here, but it's something I'm also very thoughtful about.
Karen, I know you wanted to jump in with some thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting that the Chief Justice says that there should be an open primary. There's actually a bill that would close primaries and make it so you have to be registered, either Republican or Democrat, 30 days before the primary. So the legislature and Republicans here seem to be looking at going the other direction when it comes to primaries. But I wanted to bring in a couple of things. First of all, I asked on our TV show, The State of Ohio, this week, Nikki Antonio, the Senate Minority Leader, why she and House Minority Leader Allison Russo had voted for maps that were just approved by the Ohio Redistricting Commission that, again, give a 62% supermajority to Republicans in the House and nearly 70% supermajority to Republicans in the Senate. And I asked her if she regrets that vote. And she said no, she doesn't regret it for a minute, that they had to be pragmatic and present and play the hand that they were dealt because there was a fear that the next maps might even be worse, which is an interesting thing to hear someone say. And obviously the approval, the unanimous approval by the commission led the Ohio Supreme Court to say, these are the maps for the next 10 years. But certainly Antonio and others are hoping that this Citizens Not Politicians amendment goes forward, because then that would, of course, blow up the whole process and make those maps not good for 10 years. And one other thing I wanted to add is that Senate President Matt Huffman and other Republicans have said they don't really believe the idea that this 15-member panel will be made up of citizens, that there's no way that people who are not politically connected will be knowledgeable enough to join this and be active enough to join this. So I think that there are some who really doubt the veracity of the idea that these are going to be citizens and not politicians.
Let's go ahead and take Nikki calling in from Akron this morning, who wants to give a thought. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, all of you, for your work on this. And thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. My mom, I'm actually from Michigan, and my mom worked with Voters Not Politicians in Michigan to pass some pretty sweeping gerrymander reform, which is amazing. And so my question is, how do I get involved, and how can I volunteer to get signatures or get packets or what have you? Because this is something I'm also passionate about. Thanks so much.
Catherine, I'm going to turn that question to you. I'm also going to ask, since we have gotten various emails on this, how can people sign if they don't run into someone who is, you know, in their neighborhood gathering signatures? Is there a way for them to go online? How must this be done? So, Catherine, if you can kind of answer both of those questions for us.
So let's start with the first one, which is, well, how can I get involved? So I would encourage you to go to citizensnotpoliticians.org, and there you can see the amendment. You can sign up there to volunteer to collect signatures. And there are other ways that you can get engaged. You know, we are going into some cold weather, and so we're going to be planning events where people can come and sign the petition. We're going to be doing a bunch of different kind of creative things during, you know, the December, January months, because, yes, we'll have some tree lightings and there will be some winter fair kind of activities that will be happening around the state. And actually, this time of year is a great time to get friends and neighbors to sign petitions. But we are going to be planning a bunch of different events. And so please, citizensnotpoliticians.org. And then the next question, which I think is important, is there's that sense, okay, I really want to sign. How do I actually sign? Well, we are getting started, but we will be posting online where there are places you can go to sign. We'll be doing some drive-throughs. And so these will be kind of, you know, at local churches, et cetera, sometimes at union halls, where essentially it's just the way you would do a drive-through at McDonald's, but you would drive through and you would sign a petition. And so we'll be publicizing that also on that citizensnotpoliticians.org website.
Dave from Chesterland has been waiting on the line. Dave, thanks for calling into the Sound of Ideas.
Yeah, hi, good morning. P.J. O'Rourke, the political satirist, very perspicacious, in one of his books said, God is a Republican and Santa Claus is a Democrat. Santa Claus is preferable in every way but one. There is no such thing as Santa Claus.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your call and thanks for that quote. I have another email coming in asking about the commissioners and whether the citizens on the commission will actually be volunteers. Will they be paid? And again, reiterate what the vetting process might be for these citizens sitting on a commission, because they will be wielding a lot of power and are being promised as the better and more transparent alternative to the current setup.
Yes, they are going to be citizens. They're not going to be, as I, you know, it says politicians are not going to be involved. I already, you know, mentioned that. I think it's insulting to the citizens of Ohio to say they're not going to be smart enough to do this. And that's Matt Hoffman's, you know, premise here. and they will be vetted. We will have a four-person, when I say four-person, four retired judges that will be the core vetting group. And judges, as I mentioned earlier, they, when they're doing their job, they're not political, and they shouldn't be, and these judges will not be. But we're also hiring vendor, you know, a company that is going to do background checks and going to look into the information that is supplied on the application to make sure that these people are who they say they are and there's no skeletons, so to speak, that would prevent their participation. There's going to be, criterion to begin with. that I know people will volunteer and they won't meet that, you know, criterion, and those will be weeded out. But I do suspect, like other states, I'm sure, like other states, we will have an abundance of citizens that want to be involved in this. And I don't believe that we're going to have a hard time picking 15. We have 11 million plus citizens in the state of Ohio. I don't believe that we're going to have a hard time picking 15 people who are independent thinking, and more importantly, or equally as important, I should say, understand the duty and will respect the oath that they are taken. Now, let me address the cost of this, because I don't want any blowback from people with some inaccurate information. When we were talking about this, you know, we were thinking, okay, how are we going to provide the funding? Because the funding has to be in, you know, mandated in the Constitution. Because I didn't want anybody in the legislature saying, great idea, but we're not going to fund this. So this Constitution says you've got to fund it. There is a cap on the funding, and that cap is related to the amount of money that was spent in 2022 by the opponents. Okay, to the maps. Okay, so there is a dollar amount there that was spent by the legislature and by the redistricting commission, and that will be the cap. And we won't go, so there is no runaway blank check here. And the caller before this about Santa Claus, you know, there's no such thing as Santa Claus, and implying Democrats will, you know, give programs a blank check. This is not a blank check. Will the citizens on the commission be paid? Yes, they will be paid. They'll be paid for the days that they will be working. So again, I want to assure the listeners here that we've thought of this and thoughtfully in order to blunt the criticism that we knew would be coming our way. You know, I'm going to maybe amplify something that Catherine said, and it exemplifies the mentality of our legislature. When a supermajority was achieved in the Ohio legislature, a quote from Senate President Matt Huffman was, "We can pretty much do whatever we want." That speaks for itself, and it is such the antithesis of what an elected official, a public servant, should have as a view of their job. And that, you know, that quote, when I heard it, I couldn't believe it was being said. Actually, I read it in the newspaper. I couldn't believe that it was being said. So we need to do something, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what this constitutional amendment is all about for November of 24.
On that note, we will take a quick break and we will wrap up the hour continuing this conversation about gerrymandering reform. I'm Jenny Hamill. This is The Sound of Ideas. We will be right back. This is The Sound of Ideas. I'm Jenny Hamill. We are with Maureen O'Connor, retired Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Catherine Turser, Executive Director of Common Cause Ohio, and of course, Karen Kassler with the State House News Bureau, our News Bureau Chief. I want to ask you, Catherine, you know, I think gerrymandering can be a very confusing subject for the layperson. And there is, in fact, a difference between partisan gerrymandering and racial gerrymandering. Do you think, even though we are talking about partisan gerrymandering, are there demographics within Ohio? And I'm especially, you know, kind of focused on, you know, those who are marginalized and feel less enfranchised than others. Does the partisan gerrymandering have an impact on a racial divide at all?
So absolutely. We should think about partisan gerrymandering, once again, the manipulation of those district lines. And all we have to do is look at Ohio and the manipulation of districts where there might have been an opportunity for somebody who was black, or there might have been an opportunity for somebody of a minority community to get elected. But instead, they cracked, you know, an inner city area and added a whole big area out into the rural community so that they made that district Republican. There are real consequences for representation in general, because we all want to participate in meaningful elections. But it is very clear that partisan gerrymandering manipulates all of our votes, and it certainly hurts communities really badly. So that we should be thinking about, yes, it is partisan gerrymandering, but it impacts the most marginalized communities the hardest.
I'd like to add to that, and Catherine's absolutely right in her example of cracking communities. There's also a concept of packing communities, where you pack all of, similarly inclined voters into a very tight community, and thereby you limit their ability to impact more than one district. This is particularly problematic when we're talking about the urban areas, of course, either the cracking or the packing. And I want to remind the listeners that we're not only talking about the General Assembly of the state of Ohio down in Columbus. We're also talking about congressional districts, the people that we send to Congress. And that matters. That matters not only to Ohio, but to our country. So what we do in November of 24 will have an impact not only on Ohio, but our country, because we are going to be sending people to Congress who are not gerrymandered to get there. Obviously, the influence of gerrymandering right now would be for Republican districts. You know, there's an individual who is the regarded as the godfather of gerrymandering, and it was a guy by the name, I think his name was Thomas Hoeffler. He's deceased, but he was addressing, a very large group of legislators and policymakers, et cetera, and he was gleefully explaining the dynamics and the mechanics of gerrymandering, and he summed it up this way. Usually voters pick their politicians. When you have gerrymandering, it's politicians who are picking their voters. And that is, in a nutshell, what the problem was. He thought there was no problem with that. He thought, he was giving the keys to the castle to the Republicans. And in fact, he did. And they followed the playbook. And it's time to tear up that playbook.
All right. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to turn to Karen and ask, from your vantage point in Columbus, what will you be looking out for as you keep your eyes on this process and how lawmakers on the commission may respond?
Well, I the commission's work is pretty much done since they approved these maps unanimously. And the Ohio Supreme Court said that they are fine because, in large part, they got unanimous support. So the redistricting commission probably won't be, I don't see any reason that it would be reconvened. And the congressional map still stays in place for this cycle. And what's interesting about that one is I think it was drawn to be a 13 Republican, 2 Democrat split, something along that way. But it actually turned out to be 10 Republicans and 5 Democrats, which I think was a bit of a surprise. So the maps are set for right now, but obviously the process of getting to the ballot next year is a big one. I asked Senate President Matt Huffman, when he proposed, he was a big backer of the 60% voter approval threshold, the issue 1 in August. He and others had said that it was needed to protect the Constitution. So I asked him, are you going to put it back before voters because you want to protect the Constitution? And he said, well, it's probably not going to go anywhere until somebody really comes up with a backing for it and really wants to do that. And that would be an interesting thing to see right now, especially since the Reproductive Rights Amendment did get into the Constitution.
And Catherine, you have about a minute to summarize, but you know, if you want to remind people how they can get more information about the amendment and again how to either how to sign that petition, that'd be great.
So I just want to remind everybody that we want to participate in meaningful elections. And what we've been talking about today is a vision of functional government and a vision of voters' votes having meaning, all of our voices having meaning. And so I think it's incredibly important that we take this on, that we address this manipulation of our elections and the manipulation of our voices. And please visit citizensnotpoliticians.org. Once again, that's citizensnotpoliticians.org. And thank you.
And I'm reminded by our producer that former Republican Attorney General Betty Montgomery said the August special election, quote, awakened the sleeping giant that is the Ohio electorate. So we will see if those words ring true by next November. Now, I want to thank my panel of guests, of course, retired Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Maureen O'Connor. Such a pleasure to have you in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our State House News Bureau Chief, Karen Kassler. Thank you.
It was great to be here. Thanks.
And the head of Common Cause Ohio, Catherine Tercer. A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, to get the last word on today's topic, send an email to soi@ideastream.org. We're on Twitter at Sound of Ideas. And you can follow me at Jenny Hamill underscore. Next week, join us for our next Sound of Ideas community tour. We're discussing the state of school boards at the Hudson Library and Historical Society next Tuesday, December 12th at 6:30, hosted by our own Mike McIntyre. I'm Jenny Hamill. Thanks so much for listening, and we will speak with you again tomorrow.